You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. And I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at some of these market movements. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to speak to you again. It seems as though the markets have had absolutely no reaction, or at least from the Rand's perspective, to the announcement that President Joe Biden's pulling out.
Yeah, certainly from the Rand and from the dollar's point of view. So, yeah, looking at the dollar index, very, very muted reaction. And from the S&P 500's reaction, mildly positive. And this is coming, obviously, off a heavy negative week last week. You know, of course, on Friday, sort of capped with that CrowdStrike and Microsoft issue, what they're calling the largest global IT outage in history. You know, so we've still got, even with that said, we've still got the S&P 500 moving higher. So, yeah, like I said, up about 0.5% at the moment, although we do have something like CrowdStrike down another 12.5%. But the kind of more typical semiconductor players that sit in the NASDAQ doing pretty well. So you got the likes of ASML that was hit hard last week as well, up almost 4%. We've got Tesla reporting later in the week, that up around 3.74%. So really the market shrugging off the news that Biden is stepping down. It's interesting because, you know, if you looked at the polling numbers kind of mid last week, this wasn't really on the cards. It is a little bit surprising to essentially the pundits. But I think anyone that watched that debate was saying that at some point he had to step down, although he was definitely hanging on for dear life. Market reaction has been very, very muted, as it looks like Kamala Harris will be the new Democrat nominee.
You mentioned the CrowdStrike number, and as you're mentioning this, I'm pulling up a CrowdStrike chart, and you touched on the fact that Joe Biden was hanging on for dear life. It looks like the CrowdStrike share price is hanging on for dear life at the moment. That IT outage, markets somewhat not really okay. Well, not really phased by it. I think it was more of a company sensitive issue than it was a market sensitive issue. Has CrowdStrike sort of come out to? I know they gave an explanation around what happened, but investors haven't really bought that, have they?
Oh well, I think it's probably the fear of the litigation to follow. So this obviously wasn't a malicious attack or anything like that. It was essentially an update, and CrowdStrike has obviously, through the investor relations department and through their PR department, said that, you know, this has been fixed. And while there were some lingering issues today, you know, this is something that is fixed, and you know, it should be something in the past, and it shouldn't have a material impact on the company. Of course, you know, when you see that the number of flights that were grounded, markets that didn't open, banks that weren't fully operational, the damage is likely going to be extensive. And I think everyone is just nervous now to see what kind of litigation follows. I think it will be volatile. I think the bargain hunters will definitely be out there in force at some point, but what the traders say, follow a three-day rule. You know, wait 3 days for the bad news to settle before you try and catch what looks like a falling knife.
It's interesting how the U.S. just litigates through everything. Let's move to some local matters. Mr. Price, they had a really good start to the week this week. They're doing exceptionally well, back near all-time highs.
Yeah, it's a solid 13-week sales update helped to push the share price a little bit higher. But you know, looking at the numbers, you can understand that the market that they're operating in is very, very difficult. And the numbers were fairly subdued. So, you know, if you look at the sales for the 13 weeks, up 4.9%, a decent result. You know, of course, it's Mr. Price, so most of those sales are still cash based. But you know, again, so some of the top line figures also just being boosted by the growth in their debtors book as well. Obviously, higher interest rates feeding into that debtors book. But cash sales still accounting for 87.5% of their overall sales. Online sales still very, very low for the business as well. And it really is just a typical brick and mortar retailer. So they did open 35 new stores. That takes their total footprint up to 2,935. So that's a lot of Mr. Price's out there. Essentially, yeah, like I said, difficult operating environment. Interest rates are still high. Consumers are still under pressure. It does somewhat speak to their kind of value fashion retail. It does help to an extent, but of course, we also had an early Easter this year. So, you know, a lot of the April and May figures were subdued. Consumer spending was also constrained, obviously, ahead of elections. They did pick up a trend that people were holding back, wanting to see what was happening before they started spending. We also had a late onset of winter, so a lot of their winter goods didn't shift. And now really what they're focused on is trying to make sure that they have their inventories going out. They did have less discounting, though, which is good news. So they did actually manage to claim back some margin. And by their own estimates, they continue to gain market share over the last 12 months. So saying that they've gained market share in 11 of the last 12 months, they put the figure at about 1.1 billion worth of market share that they've gained. But yeah, the certainly traders looking at this and thinking this is a decent set of results and bidding up the share price today.
A couple of other companies had their share prices move as well. I mean, I noted the likes of Sasol also off the back of some positive data there, saying they came in line with expectations. That share price was up about 6.5% on the day. But some of the other guys not having such a good day, the likes of South 32 down 12%. Did you see anything about them?
No, so South32, yeah, it's essentially coming from an impairment at Wolseley Alumina, as well as Cerro Matoso, which is their nickel project in Colombia. So we combined those two impairments, coming to $818 million US dollars. So if you look at the market cap of the company, it's in excess of 10% of their market cap that they've just impaired. And that's obviously going to send the share price kind of skittering lower. So as you said, down 12.26% on the day. They've got results on the 29th of August, so we'll definitely get a little bit more information out of them then. This was obviously just an update. But you know, if you exclude the impairment, which I mean, came through from a number of kind of refining issues, etc. Yeah, their manganese production in South Africa actually was pretty good, but you know, obviously overshadowed by just such a big write-down.
These write-downs are definitely going to have an impact on the businesses and on the sectors. Do you think that this is something that we're going to be seeing more of as we go forward, Gary, in the mining space especially? I mean, with all of the pressure that's been placed on commodities pricing globally, do you think that some of the mining companies, I mean, Sibanye a couple of weeks ago went through that section 189, now this, are we going to be seeing a lot more value adjustments from or repositioning conversations from the mining companies?
I don't think necessarily. I think the repositioning, it's really when it surprises the market. So if they don't explain and telegraph the information well to the market, then you get the big share price moves like we saw with South32 today. But if you look at Amplats, for example, I mean, Amplats also came out with their full year results today. They had an 18% decline in their earnings. And part of that is because the PGM basket that they track is down 24% in US dollars. At the same time, you know, they're restructuring. They've had massive layoffs. They've put their Mortimer smelter on care and maintenance. So really talking to a very difficult operating environment, yet the share price is up nicely on the day. It was up over 3% at one point. Yeah, it ended, I think it's 3.09. So yeah, it shows the difference between accurately explaining to the market what's happening within your results and kind of sticking to the guidance and giving accurate guidance. So yeah, one of the reasons I think from the Amplats side that everyone was fairly optimistic is that they've said that we're going to restructure, we need to get our costs under control. And I think the key number in their results today was saying that looking at their 3E ounce, which is the platinum, palladium and rhodium, their AISC, so their all-in sustaining cost, came in at $957 an ounce. Their target for the year was $1,050 an ounce. So showing that they've actively made progress towards cost cutting in a difficult environment with lower prices, they're doing the right thing, they're protecting shareholder value, and they're cutting costs and they're managing to do it effectively. You tell that to markets and they'll bid up your shares.
Just be honest with the markets. That's all they want. Thanks so much for those insights, Gary. We'll leave it at that. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, joining me to reflect on the market movements today, as well as some developments that came out.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.